T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Is Red Sox Review on WEEI.
Swinging a high drive center field deep. Back goes Heredia. Back to the warning track. Looking up. It is gone. On the hitter's backdrop. Dead center field. Home run. Mitch Moreland. And the Red Sox now lead it 5-0.
Recapping the Red Sox win against the Mariners.
The 1-2. Swing and a miss. Strike 3. Sale got him for his 13th strikeout of the game. Chris Sale has punched out 13. He's kept the Mariners off the board.
Dial 617-779-7937. Red Sox Review with Patrick Gilroy.
Hour number 2, Red Sox Review right here, Sports Radio, WEEI. Patrick Gilroy, get you guys in here till 7 o'clock this evening. Continuing to take your phone calls at 617-779-7937, and we can continue to talk about the Red Sox taking 2 out of 3 from the Mariners as they return home to Fenway after that sort of abysmal road trip that they found themselves on, right? And the Red Sox played a handful of teams that they should have handled. They didn't. The offense wasn't there. We've talked about it all week long on Late Night. Like, I get that. And what did we talk about on the last time that we were together on Late Night? We talked about this Red Sox team coming home and how the offense is going to look that much better at home. And for the Red Sox sake, I'm glad that that's what's happened here, especially for a guy like Chris Sale, who's had absolutely zero run support this year. For him to go out there today and get five runs of help, I mean, essentially, that is a massive sigh of relief for that guy after the season, and really season and a half. If you go back to last season as well, the Red Sox just haven't produced for him offensively. So we can continue to talk about that as well at 617-779-7937. What's really interesting is going into the break here, I had mentioned the Boston Globe and how the paper of record in the city had completely ignored and avoided this Hanley Ramirez story. And then my producer Kyle comes running in. No. And apparently 10 minutes ago, they finally put something online. I have to imagine it'll be in tomorrow's hard copy of the paper. But you know, they've got their crime reporter and legit reporters here working on this thing, and it's a bit of a different version of the story that we've heard all weekend long. And what's really interesting about this is if you listen to Late Night last week, I believe it was on Tuesday night, I had dropped something very mildly on the air saying that, you know, the reason why somebody had asked why Hanley wasn't picked up somewhere else, and I said, you're going to be surprised here, but I believe that he's found himself in a bit of legal trouble here, and it's not going to be pretty for him or for the organization if what I heard was true. And I got a bunch of tweets about it and a bunch of texts, and people wanted to know more. And I had heard a whisper, and people in radio from the most significant radio personalities on both stations, whether it's, you know, Felger or a guy like Jerry Callahan and Kirk, it doesn't make a difference. They had heard what I heard, and the most insignificant people had heard what I heard. The story had been making its way sort of around for the last 3 or 4 weeks, but nobody could make it. No, it wasn't concrete, so nobody was able to go out there and sort of do what Michelle McPhee did. And even what she did, and you give her a lot of credit for breaking the story, even what she did wasn't completely concrete. And now here's the trouble when you do that. Here's the difficulty. Unless and until you've got all your facts straight, you can go out there and make an ass out of yourself, but you're also dragging somebody's name through the mud, and maybe it doesn't deserve to be dragged through the mud. I don't know. Anytime you connect a human being, especially a human being that's as high profile as a Hanley Ramirez with the sort of money that Hanley has, to a cocaine, crack, and fentanyl ring, it's not a good look. But the Globe coming out about 10 minutes ago saying that Hanley knew nothing about this. He's not involved at all. And very quickly here, I'll just read you a brief portion of this, and it says, a friend of former Red Sox first baseman Hanley Ramirez dropped his name in an effort to avoid arrest while transporting fentanyl from New York to Massachusetts in April, then immediately admitted the player had no connection to the drugs, according to documents filed in the U.S. District Court in Boston. Ramirez is not under federal investigation and has not been linked to any drug ring, according to people with direct knowledge of the case. The 34-year-old has been a free agent since the Red Sox released him on June 1st. So the sort of meat and potatoes of this story is that, and I can see how this could happen. This is a very plausible story here, that somebody that is friends with Hanley, and when you go on and you read this story, this guy, not only is he friends with Hanley now, he grew up with Hanley in the DR, so they've been friends for a long time, sort of used Hanley's name to get out of trouble. Hey, I'm Hanley Ramirez's friend. Can you give me a break here, officer? And the moment that he did that, Hanley's name then gets, I'm sure, written down in the officer's notebook, becomes a part of the report. And eventually, enough people have access to that report, both at the police station and then eventually in court. And it gets out there, and people assume the worst. But if you want to assume the best about Hanley Ramirez, and you want to assume that what the Red Sox are saying about having no knowledge, no connection between Hanley being DFA'd 5 days after an arrest here, if you want to believe what the Red Sox are saying, then this Boston Globe story certainly is interesting to read. This Boston Globe story is something that you guys will want to check out. It was written by Shelley Murphy and Evan Allen, and it just came out about 10 minutes ago. We'll tweet it out here from the station. I believe Alex Speer also tweeted it out if you guys want to go find it. It's interesting because it gives a completely different look, a completely different take on the Hanley Ramirez situation. And it is an interesting situation. Make no mistake about it. Anytime somebody of his stature is connected to drugs as ugly as fentanyl, you got a problem. And it's not a good look for Hanley Ramirez, who I'm sure, now he's saying he's retired, but he's 34 years old. He wasn't done by any stretch of the imagination. You know, if the Red Sox did not DFA him, he wasn't ready to walk away from the game. And now he's down in the Dominican Republic. He's not even here in the United States. And you have to wonder if he's just going to wait for this whole thing to go to court and blow over, or for his name to be completely cleared. So here's one version of the story that says Hanley knew nothing, isn't a part of it, didn't finance the drug operation, and his friend just dropped his name in an effort to get himself out of trouble. A plausible situation. Whether it's the truth or not, that's yet to be seen. That'll come out in the future. But interesting nonetheless, and good on the Boston Globe for finally coming out with something and putting something out there in writing and having their crime reporter going after this stuff. After 48 hours of being crushed by local sports radio, being crushed by the media in general, the Globe comes out and gives a completely new, fresh, different take on the story. So congratulations to the Boston Globe. Job well done for at least getting yourself in the mix here. Whether this is all true and all correct, that is yet to be seen. This is all secondhand stuff. And that's the danger in all of this. It's all second and third hand information. And that's why, by the way, you know, it took balls to do what Michelle McPhee did. And nobody that's in my position or higher profile positions here that had heard the rumors had the balls to go out there and say anything, because we didn't have the facts to back it up. And without facts to back it up, you can't just go out on the radio and sort of say something. We don't have the luxury of doing that. That could get us in a tremendous amount of trouble. And you know, smear Hanley's name, smear the Red Sox name, and that's not what we're looking to do here. We're just looking to get the answers that, you know, nobody really had. Why does a guy at 34 years old who had a great April, had 6 home runs, sure, he went through a 3-week stretch where he gave this team nothing offensively, but is that worth not only losing your job in Boston over, but no team signing you? He wasn't even in rumors to be picked up by another team. And generally speaking, that doesn't happen. Generally speaking, you know, you're going to get an opportunity after opportunity after opportunity when you have the track record, history, and skills that a guy like Hanley Ramirez has. So it was very interesting that he wasn't even talked about when it came to joining another team. And then this story breaks, we sort of get an idea as to why. And even now, if you believe 100% what the Globe is saying here, where Hanley Ramirez's friend essentially dropped Hanley's name to try and get himself out of trouble, even if that is 100% the truth, you can certainly see why other teams have stayed away from the Hanley Ramirez situation, why they have decided to stay away from potentially picking him up. It's a dangerous situation to be involved in. You don't want your team being associated even on the fringe with a fentanyl ring, with a crack ring. It's a really bad look. So when you look at other teams that could use some offensive punch, Sure, a guy like Hanley Ramirez and his skills and his bat, his skill set overall, is a welcome addition to most teams, especially when the Red Sox are paying the majority of his salary. But the moment that he's even on the outskirts mentioned with a fentanyl ring, there's a big black mark on him. No, 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 we are not getting that guy. We want no part of it. And now the Globe comes out today and says, yeah, you know, Hanley had his name brought up in the situation because his friend tried to get out of trouble and drop the Red Sox star's name. And ultimately, that's Hanley's only involvement in the situation. Read the story. It's on theglobe.com right now. Check it out for yourself. Form your own conclusions. We can talk about it here together at 617-779-7937. Back out to the phones we go. Let's go to Matt. Matt's in Milton. Matt, you're next up here on Red Sox Review.
Hi. I just wanted to call and talk about some stuff that could help the Sox down the stretch at the bottom of the rotation.
Yeah, what do you got, Matt?
So I was thinking that come playoff time, you know, Jackie really isn't hitting well at all, and that's pretty clear from the average. So if we were to put GD in left field, move Benintendi to center, and just bring up somebody, whether it be Adam Lynn from AAA or somebody, we can just make a low-profile acquisition of someone who's either going to get some hits down hits in playoff time or get some power onto the team.
I like the Adam Lynn suggestion. You know, he's somebody that in his career has over 200 major league home runs. Like, he has had success at the major league level. So I fully expect him to be up here at some point. But, you know, he's going to play first base or DH for this team on a part-time basis. While his bat will be a welcome addition, Matt, I'm not sure how that really helps Jackie Bradley Jr.'s situation.
Well, I was thinking put Benintendi in center for Jackie and then bring JD out into the field.
Okay, I get it. That's creative thinking. And look, I appreciate the phone call, and that's what they're going to have to do here. They're going to have to think outside the box and think creatively here. And I'm not sure moving other guys around out of their comfort zone is the best approach, you know, especially you specifically mentioned come playoff time. I'm not sure that's the best approach come playoff time, but unless this team is able to go out there and somehow acquire some additional help for the bottom of that order, then I'm not sure what they can do outside of getting creative here. And they're going to have to, because, you know, it's one thing to have giant holes in the lineup during the regular season, but you can ill afford to have three consecutive guys in your lineup be next to automatic outs. That is a recipe for disaster, a recipe for failure when the playoffs roll around. It is Sports Radio, WEI. It is Red Sox Review. When we come back, I do want to talk about something that they brought up on the radio broadcast today. And they were talking about the pitch clock in baseball. And would people want it at the major league level? And I found it really, really interesting that there were people that still are against a potential pitch clock. Did you like the pace and the speed of today's game? Would you like the pace and speed of today's game to be the norm? Then you need a pitch clock. And people that think that baseball doesn't need a pitch clock because it's the one thing in life where, you know, you're not beholden to a clock, you're crazy. And that's why baseball's demographics are getting older, and that's why baseball continues to be a dying sport when it shouldn't be. The game itself, when there's action, it's exciting. Unfortunately, sometimes that action is sort of few and far between. I think a pitch clock can certainly help the situation there. And if you are against a pitch clock, if you're one of those people that tweeted into the broadcast today and said, no pitch clock, you know, I like to take my time on a weekend afternoon and watch baseball at its own pace, I think you're flipping crazy. We'll talk about it next right here, Sports Radio, WEI.
Dial 617-779-7937. Now, Red Sox Review on WEI.
Doesn't mean that Hanley Ramirez is in any way charged with a crime, but it certainly puts him in the realm of this ongoing, you know, multi-jurisdictional task force that's looking into this sprawling fentanyl ring that's operating out of Lawrence, Massachusetts.
Michelle McPhee right there on with Ken Laird the other night when this whole story about Hanley Ramirez really took on a life of its own in the last 48 hours. And, you know, while it's an interesting story to talk about, and while anything involving this amount of drugs is certainly going to capture our attention, you combine fentanyl, you know, this whole opiate crisis that we're in right now, along with crack and cocaine. These are all drugs that sort of get people's attention. Massive amounts of fentanyl with a guy that was DFA'd here with the stature of a Hanley Ramirez, a guy that's known not only in Boston, but Hanley's name is known all around the country. He's a guy that's been sort of a legit star in baseball for over a decade now. He's a guy that's recognizable, not only in Boston, but everywhere. And he's a guy that's made a tremendous amount of money playing baseball. So you combine a legitimate name like a Hanley Ramirez with massive amounts of fentanyl, and you're going to have yourself a story that takes on a life of its own. And at the center of that story has been Michelle McPhee. She was the one that first went on record and sort of broke the story and talked about the tie between Hanley Ramirez and sort of this drug ring and how you can make the connection from point A to point B and put Hanley Ramirez, speculating that Hanley Ramirez is right smack dab in the middle of this whole thing. And what's interesting here is in the last 10 minutes, you've got the Boston Globe finally coming out with their story, and their story sort of goes against the grain and contradicts a lot of the things that we have heard in the last 48 hours. This story paints Hanley as more of an innocent victim than somebody that was directly involved in this massive, you know, interstate drug ring. You know, the Boston Globe in the last 10, 15 minutes coming out with their story written by Shelley Murphy and Evan Allen, saying that a friend of former Red Sox first baseman Hanley Ramirez dropped his name in an effort to avoid arrest while transporting fentanyl from New York to Massachusetts in April. In other words, this guy is friends with Hanley Ramirez, he gets pulled over, drops Hanley's name in an effort to get the cops off his back, full well knowing that in the back seat he had a box full of fentanyl in it, and it didn't work. And now Hanley's name gets brought up. Hanley, essentially, I believe the story is, and Kyle, correct me if I'm wrong here, but the way I'm understanding it is the FaceTime call is real that we've heard about, and the police officer actually spoke with Hanley on the cell phone during this, when the car was pulled over. That's the way I believe this thing to be true now, and the officer asked Hanley for permission to open that box. Hanley granted him permission, but said, look, it's not my box, do what you want. And that's where the fentanyl was found. Do I have it correct?
That is correct. And then afterwards, the guy that was pulled over driving the car told the cop afterwards that he was just using Hanley's name to try and get out of it. So after saying, you know, this stuff is Hanley's, this isn't mine, about 10 minutes later, he went back on what he said.
So the drug dealer with a conscience, essentially, here, says that, no, you know what, I dropped Hanley's name because I was hoping to get you off my back. Clearly, you're not getting off my back. You need to know, officer, that Hanley had nothing to do with this. This is my stuff. It's my problem. No, it's not Hanley's. And now today, just getting a tweet coming out right now that Adam Katz, Hanley Ramirez's agent, says the reporting on Hanley's involvement in this matter was reckless and irresponsible. It's unfortunate that one careless, inaccurate story can generate such widespread negative and damaging coverage. So look, you know, you've got this story sort of continuing to take on a life of its own, taking a very interesting turn today right here on Red Sox Review. And it's funny because, you know, I wanted to sit here and spend the next half an hour crushing the Globe for their lack of coverage. But maybe the Globe was the only responsible news outlet out there. And they put their crime reporters after it and their investigative reporters after the story. And they wanted to get it right. And rather than run with wild inaccuracies and sexy stories that generate attention, generate feedback, generate calls, generate ratings, generate clicks, they wanted to go out there and be patient and get it right. That's at least the way that the Globe is going to spin this. And they'll come out of this thing looking very good if the story that they came out with today winds up being the true story here. So it is Sports Radio, WEEI. It is Red Sox Review. I am Patrick Gilroy, continuing to talk about the Red Sox, how they've come home and started to sort of turn things around offensively here. Chris Sale with a dominant performance today. The Red Sox, they win the rubber match against the Mariners, taking 2 out of 3. They've got tomorrow off, and then the Angels come to town, so we can talk about that with you guys at 617-779-7937. Also, continuing to sort of break down this whole Hanley Ramirez story and how it's continuing to change and take on a life of its own here. We all thought we understood what the Hanley Ramirez story was. The involvement with the fentanyl, unfortunately, looked like it was real. It looked like, and everything that we had read and heard pointed to Hanley somehow having a hand in this operation. As a matter of fact, if you go through my notebook here, I wanted to do a whole segment, or maybe more, on how stupid athletes can be and why Hanley was not the only one. I mean, there's been countless athletes over the years that find themselves in the middle of these sort of drug operations, buying and selling drugs, trying to be a drug kingpin. And I never understood that. It's something that always sort of escaped my reality. I don't get it. You know, these guys, the whole point of selling drugs and being a drug dealer, especially at that high level, is to generate cash, is to make money, is to, you know, get yourself a damn good income, get rich, right? That's the whole idea. When you see drug dealers on TV, you know, what do? These guys are generally, you know, driving nice cars, they're rich, they have a nice house, and it's all cash. And I see that's why athletes want to get in that life, but they've already got all the cash. Like, they don't need to go out there and sell drugs to make a living. They don't need to go out there and sell drugs to be badass and get attention. So any reason why these athletes would get involved has never really made sense to me, because they've already got the life that they would hope to get by selling drugs, unless, of course, it's the risk factor. So I wanted to spend a tremendous amount of time talking about that and slamming Hanley Ramirez for being another one of these idiot athletes that get involved in this sort of thing and losing your livelihood because of it and maybe go to jail because of it. But ultimately, I can't do that here. It'll be wildly irresponsible of me to make that leap now. Not with the contradicting story here, not with what the Globe just came out with and Hanley's agent coming out and essentially backing up what the Globe is saying. So until we know more, I have to believe that maybe Hanley was just an innocent victim in this whole thing, and it's unfortunate that his idiot friend brought up his name. And there's the only involvement of Hanley in this whole story. That's the story that I would like to believe. You know, there's still a lot of coincidences that don't make sense to me. There's still a lot of coincidences that, you know, they really shouldn't be, but that's what they are. You know, you look at the timing of when he was DFA'd. You look at the fact that no other team has even sniffed around him. You look at the fact that Hanley ducked the states and went out to the DR, and that's where he is right now. All of those things, to me, they're all circumstantial, and I am no judge, jury, or lawyer, anything like that, but they don't look good on the surface. But you can also spin them the other way and say that, you know, Hanley admitted that he was essentially done with baseball. He didn't love it anymore. He wasn't interested in going out there and earning a role on another team. The Red Sox were paying him. He was content to walk away. And his family and friends are in the Dominican Republic. And now that he wasn't working, he had his first summer off in a long time. So he went home to visit family and friends. It could be that innocent. But the timing of it all just doesn't look all that innocent. Whether that's responsible or irresponsible of me to feel that way is another story for another day. But I find it very interesting here that the Globe has come out and given a completely different take on this story that we've heard so much about over the last 48 hours. And the Globe is the only real paper here that has got investigative journalists, apparently, going after the story. And I feel like we're going to learn a lot more tomorrow, because when court opens up, you're going to have many, many, many reporters there looking for these stories now. All of this should be in black and white in court documents. And with the story breaking on Friday night over the course of the weekend, nobody really had access to the courthouse to go looking through these documents and finding where Hanley's name is. Is Hanley's name something that we see more than once throughout these documents? Is Hanley's name a common thread between all of these defendants? Does it all make its way back to Hanley somehow, some way? And the implied story today on both stations, by the way, was that Hanley was possibly the financial guy behind this whole thing, and he was financing the whole operation. But you wonder if that's just people and their imaginations running wildly. Because again, here, it seems to me that if what we're getting from the Globe is true, that Hanley's only involvement was his friend dropping his name and then immediately retracting that to the officer, and the officer actually speaking to Hanley on the phone during the arrest, then that could be the beginning and end of this thing. But as Hanley's agent came out and said today, look, this is not okay. You know, Hanley's agent reporting that Hanley's involvement in this matter was reckless and irresponsible. It's unfortunate that one careless, inaccurate story could generate such widespread, negative, and damaging coverage. The fact is this, now and forever, no matter what happens, whether Hanley is completely clear to this thing tomorrow, there's going to be an association between Hanley and all these criminal activities. Hanley and quite possibly, you know, the worst street opiate in the world right now. Because fentanyl, the addition of fentanyl to heroin, is what's killing people. One little flake. I mean, It's a joke, but it's not. I mean, fentanyl can kill people just by breathing it. You have to wear hazmat suits to be around it. Drug dealers stretch out the heroin and make it more potent by taking just the tiniest little speck of fentanyl and adding it to the heroin. That's what they do. So a tiny bit of fentanyl lasts forever. I mean, you take it, you add a little tiny bit to the heroin, and the heroin gets extra potent. And now suddenly people come crawling back to that drug dealer for your super potent heroin. And that was an awful thing for Hanley to be involved in, especially in this state, at this time, when we're dealing with all of this, with the opiate crisis here. It was a terrible look, not only for Hanley, but for the Red Sox, to even have somebody sort of involved by extension. So you see why the Globe took a more cautious approach and why the Globe actually went out there and did some investigative journalism. It appears here. And now the latest news is that maybe Hanley wasn't involved at all, and he was just a victim of a friend trying to get out of trouble and dropping Hanley's name. So we'll take your thoughts, your phone calls on Hanley. In your opinion, I mean, do you buy what the Globe is selling today? Is this something that is plausible to you guys, or is this just another excuse for a big-time athlete? Is this just people coming together on Hanley's side trying to get another athlete out of trouble, or do you believe it? Maybe I'm gullible, but I tend to believe what the Globe actually came out with today. To me, this is very plausible. To me, this reeks of, you know, his friend was desperate, saw an opportunity, said, you know what, I'm going to drop Hanley's name. Maybe the cop will leave me alone. Because the friend knew the moment he got pulled over and he had that black box in the back of his car, he knew that he was screwed. He knew that he was going to jail for a long time. And he had one hope, and that was to drop Hanley's name and hope that that would impress the officer. And it didn't impress the officer. And ultimately, you know, the guy backtracked on his story and apologized and said, look, it's me. It's not Hanley. Let's move on. And now here we are 2 months later, and Hanley is smack dab in the middle of this thing. And maybe he doesn't deserve to be. Maybe we are all guilty of assuming the worst. Maybe you are guilty. Maybe I am guilty, because it feels to me like in the last 48 hours, we've buried this guy, and maybe he didn't deserve it. Maybe he just sucked at baseball now and he was done with his career. And maybe we should have just let him walk away peacefully. But instead, we can't help ourselves because he is smack dab in the middle of a story that maybe he doesn't deserve to be there, but somehow he is there. And you have to blame him for one thing, right? If this guy has Hanley's cell phone number, if this guy is friends with Hanley Ramirez, then Hanley must know what his friend is involved in. And maybe Hanley needs to be one of these athletes that takes a close look at his circle of friends and is a little bit more intelligent about the people that he associates with. Because this could be a real situation where Hanley winds up being guilty by association. No matter how guilty he really is, he could be guilty by association. And that's enough to cost him maybe a second opportunity at baseball. So we'll talk about that with you guys when we come back right here at Sports Radio WEEI.
This is Red Sox Review on WEEI.
It is Red Sox Review, Sports Radio, WEI, Patrick Gilroy with you guys until 7 o'clock this evening, taking your phone calls at 617-779-7937. You text the program at 37937. You find me on Twitter, at Gilroy on Hoops, at Gilroy on Hoops. The Red Sox, they win today 5-0. Chris Sale, he's dominant today, 13 strikeouts, just 4 hits, and the Red Sox take 2 out of 3 from the Mariners in their return to Fenway Park. Get tomorrow off, then welcome the Angels to town. There is your Red Sox review. We spent a lot of time actually talking about the Red Sox and how at home their offense has been incredible. You know, on the road, it's been suspect, and especially when you look at the home road splits of guys like J.D. Martinez and Mitch Moreland, it's shocking how different they are at home versus the road. And on the road, they're pretty good, but at home, they are otherworldly type of players. So we spent a lot of time on that. If you have leftover thoughts on that, believe me, we'll continue to take those phone calls at 617-779-7937. But about a half an hour ago, the Globe finally had their voice heard when it comes to this whole Hanley Ramirez situation. The Globe has been eerily quiet all weekend long. We all understand the Globe and the Red Sox are owned by John Henry. So it was a bad look for the Boston Globe not to at least have a blurb or something on the website, just acknowledging that there is this situation that Hanley Ramirez, former high-profile player for the Red Sox, has himself sort of wrapped up in and involved in, right? Terrible look by the Globe, and we can all sort of, I think, agree on that point. Bad look by the Globe. But now the Globe comes out this afternoon, about a half an hour ago, with a couple of reporters that are investigative-type reporters, not sports reporters. So written by Shelley Murphy and Evan Allen, and their story, it runs a little bit contradictory to what we've heard all weekend, more or less making Hanley out to be a victim here and not so much a criminal. And what they're suggesting, what they're saying, and what they are also saying, they've got court documents to back up. And we're going to learn more tomorrow when court opens. But what they're saying is that, nope, Hanley's friend got pulled over, had fentanyl in the back of the car, dropped Hanley's name in an effort to avoid any further search and seizure by the police. The police didn't care that they dropped Hanley's name, didn't impress the cops at all. The friend did call Hanley on FaceTime, so that part of the story that we've heard so much about is true. They add another layer to this, though. They say that Hanley actually spoke to the officer, the arresting officer, on FaceTime. The officer asked Hanley for permission to open up that box in the backseat of the car because the driver had said that that box doesn't belong to him. It belongs to Hanley Ramirez. Officer asks Hanley for permission. Hanley says, it's not mine. Do what you want. Cop opens it up, sees all the fentanyl. Guy, the driver, gets locked up. And at that point, the driver, Hanley's friend, so to speak, says, no, you know what, officer, I take everything back. Hanley is not associated with this. I was desperate. I was nervous. I used Hanley's name to try and get out of trouble here. He's got no involvement at all in the situation. And that's what the Globe came out with today. And then Hanley's agent coming out about 10 minutes ago, backing up the Globe story, essentially saying that, you know, this has been an awful weekend for Hanley and the media is to blame. They've been wildly irresponsible in taking Hanley's good name and sort of running it through the mud. And that's the gist of what the agent is saying now. And now it's a matter of public opinion, right? Because forever at this point, Hanley's name is going to be tarnished. And he never had the greatest name in this city to begin with. It's not like he's, you know, one of these world-class athletes that's going to be on the Mount Rushmore of Boston someday, but he was a contributor here. You know, he's a part of what we do here, Red Sox culture, Red Sox Nation, a World Series team. He's here. Like, he matters to the Boston Red Sox and their history, and I think he should have mattered to this team moving forward. I have been against Hanley's DFAing all season long since it happened. You guys have killed me on late night, but since the night that he was DFA'd, I have been against it. And my primary reason has been that this Red Sox team is a World Series contender. And yeah, you know what? He's a luxury to have on this team. He's not a necessity, but they're going to need another bat at some point this year. And if Patrick Gilroy, you know, can understand that this team is going to need another bat at some point this year, I got to believe that people that are much more intelligent than I am, that work over there at Fenway, know that this team will need another bat at some point this year. So there had to be something else to the story. But what really brought that point home, that there had to be something else here, was the fact that no other teams even sniffed around him, meaning there had to be another story in play. And we got the gist of that story this weekend with Michelle McPhee really breaking the story. But now there's danger in breaking a story without 100% of the facts behind it. While Michelle McPhee broke the gist of the story has been painted all weekend long in this light where Hanley is directly in the middle of this situation. And quite possibly, he was the financier of this entire situation. And if that's to be believed, then Hanley needs to go to jail. If that is to be believed, then Hanley's legacy is done. Hanley needs to go to jail. He's probably responsible for, and he can't be tried for this. It's not a criminal crime yet, but eventually, hopefully, legislation will pass where people are held responsible when somebody dies via the drugs that they bought from you. You should be held responsible in some sort of manslaughter. But that's not the way legislation is written right now. There is currently legislation in the works to change that. But Hanley should be held responsible if the drugs that he financed ultimately killed people. That's how I felt. I am so against all of this. All right, it sucks, it ruins lives, and I've seen it happen way too personally. It's got way too close to me for comfort, okay? So I hate it. However, I also hate when people are brought into something and their name is ruined, and they shouldn't be there. Their name shouldn't have been ruined. And you know what, the Globe, They didn't say anything all weekend long, and it made them look terrible until this afternoon. Maybe they didn't say anything all weekend long because they were working on a larger story here. They were trying to get their facts straight, and their facts run completely contradictory to everything that we've heard all weekend long, essentially painting Hanley as a victim and not as a criminal. What do you guys think at 617-779-7937? Back out to the phones we go. Let's go to Dom. Dom's in New Hampshire. Dom, you're next up here on Sports Radio.
Patrick, how dare you criticize my friend, Kirk Minahan, and Jerry Callahan?
I didn't criticize them at all. Come on.
Well, it sounds like it's a little, veiled shot at them. But listen, my only point with the Red Sox is this is the chickens coming home to roost. When you're a pandering organization, when you're a team that's run by weasels in the front office that whose entire philosophy is about public relations, doing the politically correct thing, nobody believes you on stuff like this.
No, you're right about that. They don't have a lot of credibility on something like this. And even if the news that we're getting today is 100% true, nobody's going to believe it.
And I don't believe if I don't. Let's say that stuff was not Hanley Ramirez. Do you think he's going to let this guy drive his vehicle around? Do you think he has these associations, doesn't know what they're about? I mean, come on.
You're right about that. Now,
come on.
Whether he knows about them or not is a different story, especially when it comes to the legalities of the whole situation, right? But if the Red Sox team got wind that Hanley was even hanging out with or associating himself with people that were involved in this, then Hanley's got to go. And that's my point here. Like, I don't believe that the Red Sox were completely unaware of the people that Hanley was keeping company with.
But it's just a shame that they just continue. They have no credibility. I mean, this organization has zero credibility. Their response is so predictable. And, you know, I don't believe anything of it.
In your opinion, Dom, before you go, in your opinion, when this story broke on Friday night, what should the Red Sox have done differently?
If they had knowledge that Hanley Ramirez was involved with drugs, they should have came out immediately and said, you know, every single sports issue that we've seen, whether it be the Paterno thing, just be honest. Say when the information came, you know, we made this decision to let him go because of the facts laid out before us. The public can't hold them, you know, accountable for that. They weren't the ones selling the drugs. But now all this backtracking just makes a joke of an organization look like an even bigger joke.
Listen, I appreciate the phone call, Dom. And don't you get it straight. I wasn't bashing Kirk and Jerry. I won't do that. I've learned my lesson here. I would never do such a thing. It is Sports Radio WEEI. It is Red Sox Review. I am Patrick Gilroy talking about Hanley Ramirez and this entire situation that he's got himself mixed up in, and how today the Globe finally has their voice heard. They put two investigative journalists on the story, and they come out, and their story is very much painting Hanley as a victim in the situation rather than somebody that was a participant in the situation. Wondering what you guys think at 617-779-7937. Back out to the phones we go. Let's go to John. John's in Gardner. John, you're next up here on WEI.
Hey, Patrick. How are you?
Good, John. What's on your mind, man?
Well, full disclosure, I usually don't listen to the radio after the Red Sox games, but I was curious about this Hanley Ramirez story and where it was going. I've been on a couple of times this weekend, and my thing was kind of the opposite of – lack balls in breaking the story, quote-unquote. You used discretion.
Yeah, I guess.
Sean McPhee is kind of a muckraker. Would that be a safe, an accurate or fair statement?
Look, Michelle McPhee is a damn good investigative reporter. Don't forget that she did break the whole Aaron Hernandez thing, and she's a national talent too.
Okay, I think the only thing that justified any reporting on this, in my opinion, is that he was a public figure, and even then it was dicey. I'd say it was kind of dicey anyway.
Right.
Anyway, my point was, you got some drug dealer throwing a guy's name out. That doesn't really make the case. And by the way, this investigation report, and thank you, I wouldn't have read it till tomorrow because I still read the hard copy, but I just read it now online. The jury's still out. We don't know what the hell the story is, all right? It's an unknown.
Yep.
What the real deal is. But as I guess I'm on the opposite of the end of Dom, that, and I listened to Jerry and Kirk, but I went to play golf, so I didn't hear the second half when they mentioned this. But to me, everybody was jumping the gun and dragging this guy's name through the dirt. I wonder how much his reputation had to do with that, that he has been a bit of an issue personality-wise. He has been a pill at times.
But there's a huge difference. Like, that's a huge leap going from somebody that's difficult to handle in the clubhouse or some, you know, to like fentanyl dealer. You know what I mean? There's a mountain divide between the two.
But if. And by the way, what are we talking now? Guilt by association? He knew this guy from the Dominican.
Yep.
You know, and we know some – I don't want to be broad.
Just say it. I mean, say what you want to say.
A lot of drugs moved through the Dominican. This guy that was moving the drugs is Dominican. So I'm not saying anybody went after Hanley because he's Dominican, but I'm saying because of his reputation. If this had been a more, quote-unquote, straight, no-problem guy that had been released, you know, we got to wonder where people would have gone with this story, in my opinion.
You know, John, and I respect your opinion. I do have to disagree with your opinion because so much of Major League Baseball, and I can check the percentage in the break here, is made up of Dominican players. I mean, look, Dominican players make up the majority of the sport. You know, so you can't take them all and make them all guilty by association. That's just wildly irresponsible to deal with. Yeah, he's not easy to deal with, and he's always had a bit of a reputation as a hothead, right? And maybe not the best teammate in the world. But there is just a huge difference between that and what he's being accused of now. And look, when you look at the entire situation here, right, there are still all these facts to be gathered. But what was implied on Friday is very different from what the Globe wrote today. And the truth, of course, is going to be somewhere in the middle. And you couldn't expect the Globe to come out and, you know, essentially say, you know what, the Red Sox, they knew. Because that would be saying, you know what, we knew. They're one and the same, especially in the eyes of the people of the city of Boston. The Globe and the Red Sox are essentially extensions of one another. They're owned by the same leadership, the same ownership, and the caller's right. You know, when you look at the Red Sox, their desire to be so PR conscious is actually hurting the team PR-wise because it is so it's so vapid, it's so see-through. All right. It's so transparent. It doesn't matter. People can see through their act when it comes to their desire to be, you know, this PR conscious team and sort of limit the words that are spoken about them. And they only want to be painted in a particular light. I get that. That's why the Red Sox would never have come out, even if they did know. Not ever would they have come out and said, you know what, we're cutting Hanley. Unfortunately, there's something there and there's some ties to drugs and we can't have that be part of our organization. If that's what you wanted the Red Sox to say, they would never, ever, ever do such a thing. They are selling their product to kids and families. The last thing they want to be associated with is heroin and fentanyl and street drugs like that. They want no part of that. And unfortunately, you know, Hanley's been such a big part of what this team's done the last 3 or 4 years. And no, you know, he didn't win a World Series with the team, but he's on World Series contending type teams. And this year, this team has got one goal and one goal only, and that is to make a World Series. He was on back-to-back teams that, you know, won 93 games. So he was a big part of successful teams here that had larger goals in mind, right? So he's not some minimal player at the end of your bench that you can let go of quietly because he was such an impactful player on the field and such a big personality off the field. It's got to be addressed and it's got to be handled and it's delicate and it's going to continue to be delicate until all the facts are known. But the Globe and essentially the Red Sox, because it was the Globe, come out today and their story runs completely contradictory to what we've heard in the last 48 hours. The question is, what do you guys believe? Because that's all that matters. Right? All that matters now is perception. We've talked about this before, and perception sometimes is more powerful than reality. So what is your perception of the situation? And is Hanley Ramirez now a perceived drug dealer in the city of Boston? Because that's all that matters. Are the Red Sox then guilty by association, in your opinion? How do you perceive the Red Sox, and do you perceive them any differently now? That's all that matters. The truth should matter the most. Unfortunately, a lot of times people aren't patient enough to get to the truth. Think back to Deflategate. Deflategate, we all know that Tom Brady's involvement was minimal. It probably didn't exist at all, and it blew up into something it never should have been because of the initial reports. And the Patriots were never able to escape the initial reports. The perception is they cheated, even though the facts don't support that perception. It was too little, too late after the fact, and that perception will never change. I'm afraid now, regardless of the facts at play here, if Hanley is completely innocent and has no involvement at all, the perception is that he's involved, and therefore the perception is the Red Sox are involved by association. It's unfortunate, but that's just the way that I see it. It is Sports Radio WEI. What do you guys think? 617-779-7937.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.